Well, we're starting the subject of grace and really is doing it. Most of Christianity today talks, when we have a discussion of grace, they'll talk about grace and forgiveness of sin. But, you know, as you've heard me talk about before, you can talk about forgiveness of sin don't get you to heaven. You must be born again. And people don't realize, they tell me, they say, well, I got my sins forgiven. Well, that's good. Everybody has that. This is one of the reasons why today the teaching on grace, that people believe everybody's going to heaven because Jesus died for everybody's sin. So now they've taken it and turned it into this thing that everybody gets to heaven because it's about forgiveness of sin. Well, thank God Jesus did something about it. But we're going to look into this and we're understanding grace. One of the things is I handed a sheet out because this was a thing done by Reverend Tony Cook. Tony, you'll see there, he was for a while was a dean at Rhema. Also, he was an instructor there. And he wrote this thing on grace, which I think is really an absolutely excellent thing on the subject of grace. And I'm going to read through it. I just think it's sort of like if you read this and you get a hold of it, it would sort of make you want to know a little bit more about grace, because he takes all these things that the New Testament says about grace, and he put it together really well done. And we're going to read it here. It says, the Lord is gracious. He's the giver of grace and is the God of all grace. His throne is the throne of grace. The prophets of old prophesied of the grace that should come unto us. This grace came by Jesus. He was full of grace, and it is from his fullness that we receive one grace after another. The grace of God was upon him. Gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. It was by grace that he tasted of death for every man. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. Our message is called the Gospel of the Grace of God and the Word of Grace. Grace can be seen and perceived. Grace brings salvation to us. It is through the grace of God that we believe. We are saved by grace. We are justified freely by His grace. We are called by grace into grace. It is grace we are under, and it is grace within wherein we stand. We are partakers of grace. Grace teaches us to resist ungodliness and to live righteously. Grace establishes our hearts. Grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance. Grace gives us everlasting consolation and hope, a good hope. Grace helps us to in time of need. God's grace is sufficient to put us over all of life's difficulties and cause us to reign in life. Grace enables us to serve God acceptably and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our words can minister grace to others. We are to sing with grace in our hearts, and our words are to be seasoned with grace. Grace makes us what we are as it works in us and through us. It is the grace of God that makes us rich and meets our needs. Grace is given to every believer. We are told to grow in grace, to be strong in grace, to continue in grace, and to abound in grace. The word speaks of great grace, the abundance of grace, the dispensation of grace, his exceeding grace, the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, the gift of grace and manifold grace, and the true grace of God. An individual can come short of grace, receive grace in vain, fall from grace, and frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God can be abused and as an opportunity for immorality. An individual can do despite to the spirit of grace. God gives more grace to the humble and to the sincere. Grace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, and is obtained by coming boldly to his throne. So just covering those things alone would say, man, there's a lot to know about grace in which the church never preaches. Yeah. And they throw the term grace. It's going through this stuff and teaching it over the years and doing thing and being taught grace when I was at Bible school and things. I started going back through, and I go through my notes, and I always revise things and go back through things. And I was thinking, going through it, man, this is really good to go back through again. It's really, really good to be refreshed in these things because they're important. I really believe that there's been a lot of Christian failure because of not understanding grace. We don't understand what God has given us. And so as we're going to begin to look into this area, we're going to talk about, as we go into this teaching, we're going to teach about three areas of grace. Now we will talk about saving grace, about grace of God in salvation, but we're also going to talk about standing grace. And as we say with saving grace, would be the power of God that enables you to become a new creation. And that's what it does. Become a new creation. In other words, you get born again. Grace causes that to happen. It's one thing is really to keep in mind of this is when we talk, there's no such thing as talking about grace and not talking about power, because grace and power always, always, always run hand in hand. Grace and power always run hand in hand. So think about that. We think about grace, I got my sins forgiven. Well, there's not a lot of power from the standpoint toward us from that statement. And we understand that grace, see, the whole thing is the new birth took place by power. It required power for man to be born again. And the grace of God that causes man to be born again is God's grace that works to us. There's also this, we're going to talk about standing grace, and that's the power that makes you victorious in life. Grace gives you God's ability to succeed in whatever God's called you to do, whatever to walk in. But in life, every believer, you know, the Bible tells us all the things that God has done for us, and He wants us, the blessings in our life, the things that we have as a believer, those are the things that are in grace. But it's nice to say, people say, God's done this or that, but God has empowered, His power is in His grace, so we can achieve it. Most of Christianity today is people trying to live and achieve what God wants us to have and do by our own power. People are trying to, this is one of the things that you have to really watch, because intellectualism tries to get people over into, we're doing it by our smarts. We get smart, and after a while we think, I can do this and I can do that. And what happens is people conform a Christianity to our works and our labors. And we have a Christianity that is based mostly on man's achievements. And it's not based on the supernatural power of God. Grace is based in God's power, what God does in you. And this is one of the things we want to understand, is one of the things we talk about. Grace can be seen. So grace is important to understand. You can see people who operate under the grace of God. And we want to be able to recognize grace in its operation. We want to be able to see it and understand what God is doing and what man's doing. And always, it's one of the things that is, it'll really help you in your own personal life, is what God does in your life, always give Him the glory for it. Yep. Don't ever take it to yourself and start the things of, I've done these things and, it is very easy, it is the easiest thing in the world for anybody to get into the works area, where you start trying to live your life by your works. And after a while, you'll find that your achievements won't meet the things that you know that God wants, and you'll end up feeling like you're a failure and there's something wrong. But see, works will just drag you down. It will. And so you want to get over, because grace is about God's ability, Him working in you to help you achieve. It isn't a matter of we're not partakers of it and we don't do anything. We do things, but we want to cooperate with God, not trying to do it ourselves. Now, another thing we're going to talk about, serving grace, because it requires grace to serve God. I think every Christian comes along, and especially when people come into the kingdom, people want to do something for God. And it is the easiest thing that I have watched this over the years, where people try to serve God under their own abilities and that stuff. One of the things we're going to talk about as we go on this, and you've heard this said so much among people, use your talents for God. Which means, whatever you're naturally good at, that's how you serve God. That's not how you serve God. Because number one, I would not be in the ministry. I'll guarantee you, if I did what I was naturally talented to do, I wouldn't be in the ministry. See, God gives ability, and this is where grace works. Grace gives us God's ability, and you know what? It's always going to be, you're going to do something that's going to require you. God's going to always call every person to do something that's going to require more than you to do it. That's the way it is. I mean, I don't know any other way it works. I just, if we come down to natural ability, there's all kind of natural abilities, things that I have that I could do. I can make a good living in life following my abilities. I mean, you look around this world, people do it all the time. I mean, there's people, billionaires, follow their abilities. They walked in them, and what they do, it ain't got nothing to do with God. It's following their things. So you can do things in this earth. You can succeed in this system, in this earth. But there's things that God will want us to do that you need God. That's why it's really good to learn to know God doing things in your own personal life, about walking in your own personal life, is learning to let God do things, because it'll help you develop over the areas that God wants you, of things that He's called you to do or He wants you to do, because you learn about how He works. And so you yield to them. It's really important that we do. Now, when we use the terms of grace, in the Old Testament, we see in Hebrew, they translate the word which is called grace. The idea of that word is, the foundation of it is to be gracious or merciful, or it means, or is used as the term favor. And its idea is to go out of your way. So this would be above and beyond what is expected. So when you see it in the Old Testament, it's also the unmerited favor of a superior toward an inferior, where there is no basis to show that favor. And so it could be, and it also could be like loving kindness. And sometimes it is translated that way in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the idea of this word comes from things as favorable regard toward a person. It's a grace or a favor or benefit bestowed. And but its usage, one of the things is really, I remember Kenneth Hagin make this statement, and I heard him say it a number of times when he was teaching and we were Bible school. He would make this statement. He'd say, let the Bible make its own definition of the things of what it's trying to tell you, or like what a word means. And there's one thing that's really, as you can see this about grace, of grace in the New Testament, really, is the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in a person's life. That's what grace is. And grace is really God working in an individual. Now understand, God's working is in your heart. God works through your spirit. So if we're going to deal on the subject of grace, we're not dealing with natural abilities. We're working with God working in you and inside of you. It's just like when you got born again, when you received Christ, well, how did you get born again? Well, we know that faith, if the Bible says that we did it by faith, we received the grace of God through faith. This is one of the things, you can't get away from the subject of faith and grace. You can't. There is no such thing as grace and not faith, because that's the only way you can hook up to faith in any of its forms. The only way you can hook up to it is by faith. That's how it works. That's the only way it can be done. So we got born again. We heard somebody preached to us the Word of God. They preached to us about what the grace of God is. And so what? By faith we accepted it. Well, we know this, that faith, Jesus Himself said concerning faith, when He said faith was what you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. He said what you say is going to come to pass. In other words, God is dealing with the heart of man. And He said, when you pray, what you believe you receive when you pray, that's what you're going to have. And so we need to understand, in dealing with this, we're dealing with the heart of man. It's not the mind of man. Lots of people get in, well, trying to get into their areas of thinking. It's nothing intellectual about it. It's about your heart. God is dealing with your heart. And that's where grace, God is working. So if God is working, if what He wants to do, if He wants to influence us, He's going to do it through our spirits. That's how He's going to do it. He's going to influence you through your spirit. We all deal with a lot of influences around us. You deal with influences of the outside. You can deal with influences in your own mind. But God isn't in those. God is doing the influencing from your spirit. And so you want to get in contact. If you want to get in contact with grace, you want to look on the inside. That's where God is. And that's where grace is number two, that's where the power is. Christian power is on the inside. It's not something on the outside. You know, if you take divine healing, see, many people, they try to equate healing. This is why so many people have trouble with divine healing, because divine healing deals with the grace of God on the heart of man. And people identify healing as outward. Yep. They identify. The healing of the body by grace is from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. That's why people have a tough time. People see, it's identifying. See, God gave us doctors. See, the outside is going to be doing it. Now, there's nothing matter with doctors, but the whole point of it is, it turns man to look to the outward is where God is working. That's not true. Do you ever hear people walk around and say, you know, God gave us carpenters? Well, I've seen a lot of carpenters more helpful to people than doctors have been. But see, we have a culture that we live in, a way that we think. And we have certain people that we put that are specialties to God, and we put them into a God place that God never put them. And so people don't realize this costs us. We pay a price for that. We pay a price of spiritual things we can never enter into because we accept these certain things. So our belief system will not allow us to operate in faith toward God because we have these certain sections that we have given to men that's God. But it's actually men. It isn't what God said, it's what man says God is. So we have to ask. All religions get started like that. People look at things and they decide what they want to do. You know, religions are outward of things. You know, it's like, you know, people talk about, worry about witchcraft and stuff being, witchcraft is a natural thing. It uses potions and all that kind of stuff to try to, and uses natural things to try to change stuff. It's not spiritual. It's using potions and whatever else trying to change things. It's carnal. Now, it'll open you up nicely to some demons, because that's the demons want you to get in the flesh and they want you to think in that manner. They want you to do that. But it's not spirit. It's not a spiritual thing. It's using the natural to try to change the natural. And that's, man, that sure hasn't worked, has it? Hasn't done well. But the divine influence upon the heart and its inflection in life. Grace is the visible expression of God's power in action. That's what it is. It's the visible expression of God's power in action. See, when you responded to Christ by faith, this is why, I can't understand how a person could respond to God's grace by faith to be born again and not have a changed life. It is impossible for me to understand. I mean, because grace is power of God working in something. And the power of God doesn't work in something and there's no visible change. If it stays the same, God wasn't involved. Now, just think about it. I mean, if our military flew a plane over someplace and dropped a bomb and it didn't do anything, do you think they would, it went off, it blew up, but yeah, well, was there anything? No, it didn't do anything. It hit, it exploded, but everything stayed the same. See, this is why I can't believe that you can use your faith to get God on the scene and nothing changes. It's impossible because grace has never worked in that manner. And all that God is doing for us, we're dealing with the areas of grace. Grace is a very simple thing to think about, and this is one thing is getting the idea. If we have grace, now we're dealing though that man, even though that man was against God, grace deals with, see, God is for man. I mean, just what God did through Jesus Christ, even though we find out, man wasn't in a search for God. God searched and reached out to man. Well, that's what grace did. It was God's search. And it always is. That's why we give God the credit for things, because really, it's due Him. Because He's the initiator. Grace really initiates things. And that's to understand that your salvation came through His initiation. No one comes to the Son except the Father draw Him. God draws. See, God uses grace to draw man. Because God wants that grace. Because grace's effect on man is incredible what it'll do. There's really Jesus Christ Himself is really the image of grace. You look at the ministry of Jesus, all that He did. I mean, it's grace personified. I mean, it's just, what can you say? And so, this is one of the things is just, if all I can see of Jesus in the image of Him in Scripture and all it is forgiveness of sin, it's like, is that it? Is that what we did? I mean, it's like, you sit down and read and you study about Him, whether the epistles write about Him, whether you go over and look at the Gospels and look at the things that He said, and all it is forgiveness of sin. It's like, ugh. Oh. What a little thing. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we understand is this, the grace is what gets us into God's kingdom. But grace is also about getting God's kingdom into you. That's the important thing. We get into the kingdom, but we want the kingdom in us. We want to get more of the kingdom into us, and you can. And it's through grace, because, you know, there's initiation, salvation. I look at the sort of like the initiation into the kingdom. That's it. You get into the kingdom through it. But it isn't something that stops right there. Okay, now, yes, I've had the grace of God. I got saved, because there's so much beyond it. In fact, in the writing of the epistles, what they call the epistles, or we'd say the letters of the church, which are Romans through, or the letters written to the church, like the Apostle Paul wrote so many times in his, however he was writing in statements that he made of grace, he would impart blessing, but six times in his benediction that he said the grace of the Lord, he made these statements, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 times he said, grace be with you. One time, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God. You know, just the fact he would say, grace be with you. Isn't that interesting? If people say, well, I got saved by grace, just like grace is automatically along with you. No, it's not. We're going to find scripture. See, grace, you just don't have grace working in you just because, you know, some people just act like, well, it's just there, so it's an automatic thing. It is no different than people say, you know, God's in control. Grace must always be responded to. And it's another thing, you have to find out about it. But he also made, he said one time, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. 2 times he said, grace be with your spirit. Can you imagine? Paul said to believers, grace be with your spirit. So it's not an automatic thing. I mean, wouldn't grace just automatically? See, we have this idea when we talk about, well, see, I received the grace of God. And what? What did you do with it? 4 times he said, grace be with you all. So, there's things about grace. One of the things we saw in the statement here that we read, and I want to make mention here of, we're going to look at what Jude said. In Jude, in verse 4, Jude made a statement here about grace, which, now this is, we understand this is written to Christians. This is written to Christians, so we need to, and especially in our day and age, we'll find that what was written here by Jude, we're definitely living in a time period of this. In Jude, in the 4th verse says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about, we list that statement, we say, well, somebody would actually, you know, deny Jesus. But we need to understand, to deny the grace of God is to deny Christ. To deny, the whole thing of it is this idea. Today, grace has been perverted. Men have says, you know, that, you know, grace, is like, you know, the guy publishes the book and it says that we don't have to repent. In other words, sin, if you're a Christian, see, grace is, because God saved you, you don't have to. If you sin, it don't matter. You just go on. Telling people, you know, that grace, that everybody's going to be saved and those kind of things. We've had that creep into the church today. That stuff has come into the church. And really what it does, it turns the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Christ. The word lewdness there means this. This word means total debauchery, unashamed indecency, unbridled lust, unrestrained depravity. The person with this characteristic has an insolent defiance of public opinion, sinning in broad daylight with arrogance and contempt. We live in these days. We live in these days so much that the church opens its door to homosexual, lesbian, is it anything? Just come on right in. We're just accepting it all. We're just come on right in. We're having these things going on today, and they try to use the word grace. And it is a total, it's a total perversion of grace. Has nothing to do with grace. But, why these people have come into the church, and these people have been in for years. I mean, they've been for, well, decades, have been in the church for decades, and the church has allowed to come in, and slowly over time, whatever you let in, if you let something in, you let a little bit in, a little bit never stays a little bit. I'm only going to steal a little bit. I'm just... After a while, you'll be locked up. No, maybe today they won't, though. Might hire you. Depends how you steal. Okay. So, grace is not the ability to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's not that. It's not that ideal. You know, you've heard people say that grace is being a license to sin. Is today in this age, it is. And because God loves you, you, because of grace, you're allowed to sin. It's all right. You know, I don't know. The guy said it, so I can mention who it was. But the Pope made this statement about, he said that he felt that the church teaches, the Catholic Church teaches that homosexuality is sin. But he said, we have to find a way to make unions for those people. Hold on. I mean, you talk about, it's like, you talk about a guy that's messed up. I mean, that's pure religion speaking. There's no Christianity in that. He has no idea from himself. He has no conscience of sin. Or he'd have never said such a thing. I mean, to say, well, it's sin, but we're going to find a way to make it godly for them to get together. We're going to make it a way so you can practice sin. And it's okay. And it's not, you can practice it and it'll be all right. Okay. So whatever, I don't know. Tony Cook had said this to us. He said, if you can live better under law than grace, that's a disgrace. Mm-hmm. And it really is. If people live better under law, and it's amazing because of looking at people and the direction people have gone in these areas. In Titus, we're going to look at Titus. Titus made some... As we go through this teaching, we're going to go through a lot of scripture because it's one of the things is the thing to do is look at if we're going to talk about grace, and the Bible says so much about it. But in Titus, the second chapter, we're going to look at verse 11, and we might maybe look at some places maybe we don't always look at, but in Titus, in the second chapter in verse 11, says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So the grace of God, here we found that this is our salvation. It's appeared to all men. It's interesting because Paul's writing into the first chapter of Romans where he talks about homosexuality there. He says the homosexual knows there's a God, but he opposes him. See, we always get in this thing as we act like people don't know. People just don't know. He says, appear. But I want you to see this about this because grace is a teacher. And it teaches us how to live right. That's what he's saying here. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. See, this is one thing. See, anybody following grace, if you follow grace and you study the grace and about grace, will always lead you to live right. This is one thing as you want to learn to respond to grace. As I was saying in the beginning, grace is dealing with the power of God. Man doesn't live a godly life. The Christian doesn't live the godly life on his own ability. Now, you are involved in it, but you need God's ability. You need God's power. And grace is about God's power. That's why you want to learn to live by faith in God working in you. This is one of the things that really helps in the areas of confession about your life. Of making the right statements and things about yourself and your living and what you're doing. Agreeing with the Bible. Many times people don't agree with the Bible. They'll say, yeah, I know this is true, but... And they'll make some other statement about some things. And especially, I found this over the years of just talking to people that... are saved, going through some kind of difficulties and stuff, and they'll usually talk from the standpoint is like, well, you know what, you just can't live right. You're just going to sin. I've listened to ministers preach from their pulpit who say they believe in a new birth and being born again and say, you're just going to sin every day. I'm going to tell you, I think if you sin every day, you'll probably be in hell. I'm just sorry. I don't think a Christian sins every day. If you do, you don't know nothing about salvation. You don't know a thing about grace. We don't just sin every day.
Right.
No. See, I believe we sin. See, they're so full of grace. Grace is a worthless thing in much of Christianity. It produces nothing in people. I'm just going to sin. Totally different what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us our salvation, you know, was delivered us from the power of darkness. We say, no, we're not. We're just going to live in darkness. Every day, you're going to get into darkness. See, you're going to lose that consciousness of that thinking. I won't listen to people preach that stuff. I won't listen to people do it. You can't, because that seed gets into you, and what it breeds in you to move away from grace, you know. Well, we're just getting by here. You know, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to do this. Yeah, well, you'll never do it. You need grace. And this is where you learn to yield to the grace of God. Is agree with what the Word says. Don't agree with what people say that's contrary to the Word. We've been delivered from sin's power according to Scripture. And they're saying, no, you don't. No. You're just going to sin every day. Sin's going to dominate you. Grace is not big enough. Bible says where sin abounds, grace is much more abound. The church don't believe that at all. They don't believe that at all. Now, grace ain't that big. Sin is big. Sin is huge. You know, people teach like young people today. I was dealing with the things over the years of dealing with youth because ministers say, well, you know, it's just so hard for youth today. Why? What's the matter? Grace ain't good enough today? Grace is less today? See, well, they've sold our children to the devil. That's what they've done. The church did that. That wasn't the bad people did that. The teachers didn't do that. The church did that by preaching for decades. It's just too hard for the young people. Just too hard. It is just so hard out there. It's just so tough. See, and you do that, you get that thinking in your mind. Yep. See, grace isn't big enough. God ain't big enough to take care of your kid. God can't keep your kid. The devil will have them. Good luck. And they run around and blame everybody else and all the things that are going on. But the church did that by telling God can't keep young people. God can't do it. Well, I believe he's big enough. I've watched young people follow God, and I've watched ones who don't. But it's all in what's preached to them. It's what's preached to them. You know, don't get over into things. Don't listen to the world, you know. The world will always have you, you know. I hear, you know, sometimes Christian people, I don't know what we're going to do about our kids today. I don't know what to do about that. And say, I'm glad I don't live in your house. You and your kids are going to all go under because you're just, you know, that's the way they think. Grace is. And see, we talk about, I'm saved by grace. You are? I'd like to see a little grace. See, there's none visible, and I'm not hearing it.
That's right.
See, these are the days that we want to prove out the grace of God. See, you prove it out under times of pressure. You know, when everything's going good, you know, like in our nation, everything was going good. There wasn't much pressure between the sinners and the saints of things. Everybody's just sort of flowing along.
Yep.
Boy, things get bad. Things get separated.
Yep.
And then you find out, I find out people call themselves Christians, they didn't have much grace. and life's as hard on them as it is on the world. They have no more confidence than the world has. Because all this time they've been walking, they haven't been yielding to grace. And now they don't know how to. And things go wrong and say, gee, I was floating just like everybody else. I was just going along and everything was going good and now things aren't going good. What am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to believe God like we always did. See, when that was the practice and that's what's taught, so you learn how to use faith, then that just becomes, well, then we just use our faith. We yield to the God, we yield to His grace, and God blesses us. God will take care of us. God will look after us. There's one thing about grace, it'll always give you hope. It'll never steal it from you. It always will. Hallelujah. But grace teaches us how to live right. Grace will always lead you to live in line with Word. And you will need the power of grace to do it. Because there's always influence on the outside. There's always the influence of the flesh. The flesh is always trying to get you to move you in another direction. The flesh is always trying to, it will always try to do that to you. It'll always try to move you in another direction. It'll always try to get you. There's nothing, don't think you're weird. That's the flesh. That's just the way it is. Don't get the idea because maybe you get some thoughts over in an area. This is the whole point of grace. As grace is the power of God to maintain you. What on the inside? Greater is He that's in you than he is in the world. You keep it on the inside, the power of grace will work and you will overcome. You will overcome. And see, that's what you... There's grace. There's ability inside of you. God wants to work in you. He wants your His power working in you. Not just yours, what you have. He wants His power working in you. He realizes... You know, Jesus never had the intent that to deal with man and the forgiveness of sin and all that, and then just sort of stand back and watch man powerlessly try to make it then from there. That was never the intent of salvation. It was always the fact of God in man. Hallelujah. The incarnation. It never quit. And so we want to walk and live in the light of that. Hallelujah. But we want to talk about the endearing in the areas of dealing with the law and sin. In Romans, the 5th chapter, because looking at the areas of sin, why the law and the new covenant. In Romans, the 5th chapter, we want to read here. Some of these are things are familiar, you know, that you've heard a number of times before, but they're real helpful in the context that we're teaching here. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." And that was Adam. Adam's fall and the passing on of the sin nature. And so we all know what that's about. We've all passed down that road. It says, "So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." So here we talked about disobedience. Adam brought on the scene, disobedience brought sin to man. Men became sinners. But Jesus Christ came through His obedience is to make man righteous. And it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more." So in other words, the law magnified sin. Law was this purpose. Is great, you know, grace is greater than sin, but God didn't give the law to stop sin. God gave the law so man could see how bad sin was. God showed His righteousness and what all that He was and His holiness and purity. And really, if we look at how even the temple worship was set up, the whole temple worship was is how holy God was and how men had to watch it. You got to be very careful around God. Why? You have the sin nature, and you watch out. I mean, just think of the high priest. Tie a rope around his ankle when he goes in. Put the blood on. I mean, this is no. See, it was showing that man's didn't have righteousness going before God. The fact that that man was allowed to go into the presence of God is an incredible thing that God allowed that. But why? Because they're dealing with sin. So the law showed there was a problem. But that this is what the law didn't do. It didn't solve the problem. And this is one of the things that, like, you know, when we look, if you read the Gospels and in Jesus' ministry, you'll see that Jesus, in dealing with solving the problem, in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees and them, and the scribes, they would come to Jesus. They thought the law, they somehow got the idea that the law had perfected them. I don't see how they got there. Because living by the law, it doesn't, all the law does is show the shortcomings of man. That's what it does. There's nobody good enough. And this is why we're dealing with grace, we talk about salvation. Because It was an impossibility for man to save himself. He could not do it. Man had zero ability to make himself righteous in the presence of God. There wasn't works enough to do it. There's nothing man could do. So the fact that God, through grace, reached out to us is a phenomenal thing, because it was something that man could not achieve on his own. There's no way to do it. And so you want to lose this thought of how can God save me and then me turn around and by my works keep him happy? That would be an impossibility. I couldn't save myself. I'm going to need his ability for me to live before him. I'm going to need supernatural power. I'm going to need help. Yep. Hallelujah. So, Paul said, the good works he started in you, he said he would bring it to perfection. He didn't say you will. He'll bring it to perfection. Why? Because it's going to need him to do it. He's going to have to aid you. His power, you need it. So there's nothing wrong if you run in and say, man, I'm just sort of out of me. I don't know what to do. Well, good. Now find out what God wants to do. That could be a very good thing to arrive at. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with identifying your weaknesses or inability, because Paul said that's when I'm strong. I'm strong when I realize I'm at the end of me. Now, hey, God, I need your help to help me do this. That's, now you're on the right track. God, how about you and I get together on this? you help me out in this thing to do it. I mean, it's a good track to be on. There's nothing wrong that you feel that, you need help. And so many people most of the time look for help, look for somebody else to do it for them. But it's look for God. Because you need God to help you overcome. There's nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. So really, grace was God's answer to man's problem of sin. Grace was the answer. The law came to magnify sin so man would know how bad sin is. Sin is terrible. See, when somebody justifies sin, it's even in your own life. Now, you could go and get in condemnation, but don't ever justify sin. Sin's terrible. Amen. It's horrible. Sin and what it did to mankind, when we look across our earth today and all this the horrible stuff that's going on, it's because of sin. That's why it is. It's sin. And people are going to pay. We're going to make legislation, and we're going to overrule sin. Everything's going to work. Yeah, good luck on that one. We're going to save the planet where sin is killing. See, God told Israel about the land. You sin. You quit following me. He said, the land will vomit you out. That's what he said. The land will. See, we're living in an earth today where the land is trying to vomit the people out. You can go through save the whale, save everything you can. I'm sorry, you can't even save yourself. But you ain't saving this planet. This planet's going to burn. And it's going to be a whole different burn than they think it is with heat. And you can't go to Mars to get away from it. It ain't happening. Because Mars is hot. This is the craziest thing. We're going to go to Mars. We can't live here if it gets 2 degrees hotter. Can't live here. The Earth heats 2 more degrees. We're not going to be able to live here. But we can go to Mars that's hundreds of degrees hotter than it is here. And it has no atmosphere. And it has radiation so bad that you'll have to live underground. They say they're going to build these domes and stuff. That is all talk. We don't even have any kinds of things to stop radiation, to build domes. Radiation will go right through the stuff that we have. In fact, I was reading an article about this one scientist from NASA. He said that people flying to Mars, he said some of them won't be alive when they get there because they're going to die of radiation sickness. Mm. He said other ones, when they get there, he said most of them will probably all die from radiation because he said we don't have anything. Our Earth, and even when we get up, we have like our space station and stuff. Our gravity and stuff and the way our atmosphere operates stops a lot of radiation. But once you step out in what they call deep space, there's nothing there. We don't have anything to protect from radiation. See, all this fantasy that they're telling people, lies, we're going to do all this stuff. They can't even do it. Can't do it. We're going to go to Mars and we're going to set up there, and it's going to be wonderful and beautiful. We're going to save the people going to Mars. You're going to go live in a place. Ah, it's 200 some degrees in the daytime. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to really like it. No? They figure that if people get to Mars, they're going to have to go in these lava tubes. If they can find lava tubes where volcanic areas had been, they go in the lava tubes to live underground because to protect from radiation. See, I can hardly wait to get to Mars to live in a cave. It's going to be exciting. This is going to be fun. I guess we're going to really, what an adventure. I can hardly wait to cry a third eye. I can't wait to 6 years and... It's going to be great, guys. We're going to have a good time. Can't wait to send the pictures home to Mom. Oh, man. Oh, my. What a fantasy world, though, that you live in. But you know what? People have bought this thing.
Yep.
You know? And you know who bought them? I'm sad to say. Educated people.
Yeah.
They bought this stuff. I can't. It's beyond me. I mean, they don't even think beyond, you know. Somebody tells you something in school, that's it, yeah. Nobody ever checks to find out if it's true. Is it true? Ah, no, we ain't checking it out. I'm sorry. I read it online. So-and-so said it was so. Has to be true. Musk said it. People don't realize how bad radiation is. He shut one of his cars up there. When he was testing his rockets, they needed a certain amount of weight. So he put one of his cars, shot it up into space. It's up there floating around, but it'll disintegrate because of radiation. The areas that he set it into, there's so much radiation, the car will just eventually just, you know, go to nothing. See, people don't realize. See, you have to have protection of things, and people don't realize. They just, you know, sitting here in this earth and they talk about things and they have no clue what they're dealing with. Oh, my.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Well, the Bible just gets better all the time. Now, look, when you guys get to heaven, don't worry about the radiation thing. I think God will take care of it. It'll be good. It'll be good. All right. Well, we'll look at some things of just to start in to look into some contrast between the law and grace. We have here in the law. What the law did, it imposed divine standards that were based on God's holiness. They were divine standards based on God's holiness for the purpose of revealing to man his sinfulness and making him aware of his need for divine assistance. See, whatever God does, one of the things God will do, it is really grace. The more anybody learns to understand grace and yield to it, the more you realize how much you need God. And God looks at man, and man, he sees in man, it's not being God a big head. God looks at man, and man, you guys need me. You guys need me to help you. What's going on, you can't overcome without me. You need me. And really, that's what it's about. When God brought the law in, man needed to see. You know, man needed to come to a place where man needed a Savior, and he could see that. When man's heart started getting to the point where he understood he needed God's help, God could move. See, God was waiting for man to have some kind of thing here on earth where man was going to say, man, we need help. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so really the law was saying, was the whole purpose was to show man God is holy, he's pure. It's one of the things that that you get revelations. There's one thing as I've learned about this. There's a number of times that I've had experiences, which were, you know, sometimes like supernatural experiences. And really, these things that happen are happened by the grace of God. God manifests. One thing as I've learned about this, whether it's visions, dreams, or whatever it is, things that happen, they're to bring a revelation for something, for some purpose. And when I've talked already about and told the story a number of times about when the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was in Bible school and I was out in Oklahoma. But one of the things, though, that really marked me more than anything was the fact of after the Holy Spirit dealt with me and talked with me for a period of time, and it was really a supernatural thing. But the thing that marked the most to me was when I left there and Jesus started coming into my car. And it was the whole thing that really, out of the whole thing to me, that was a revelation was, we use the word holiness, and we use holy, and we use it in worship in our songs and stuff. There's nothing matter with you doing that. But I found this out, that holiness is not a word, that holiness is tangible. In the realm of the Spirit, holiness is tangible. When Jesus started coming into that car, there was a holiness. And this is where the whole thing is, I think, that was to me, too, he wanted me to experience of holiness. It was so incredible. Now, being born again, but my flesh could not stand it being in his presence. So your flesh ain't born again. You need to understand, this is what Christians dealing with stuff. Sometimes you get over in the power of God, and the power of God can get so great, you can't stand it in your flesh. You can't, your flesh can't take it. Your flesh is not born again. What your spirit could handle, when his presence started coming into that car, there was a purity in things. I mean, there's nothing in this earth I couldn't sit down and give you an actual word to tell you. It's unexplainable. I wouldn't know what to say. I mean, there's purity, holy, but it was so powerful. It was like, man, power was any. And I really did. I thought I was going to die. It made me afraid. I got afraid. I got afraid in his presence. I was just afraid. I thought I had pulled out of the parking lot that I was in, and I'm driving down the road, and literally, I'm thinking about jumping out of the car. I'm like, I got to get away, or I'm going to die. And I'm thinking about, that's the way I was thinking, and finally the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, told me to, and this is what he said, knock it off. He wants to talk to you. But up to that time, see, you get over to the areas of the flesh and you get in something like that, I'm going to tell you what, it is just, and that's what I learned after a while, that I learned over this thing is, holiness is something tangible. See, I think there's a lot of things in dealing with the areas of the Spirit. When the day comes and we cross over, we're going to find out that a lot of things are really different than what we thought. Is the purity and holiness. We have the words in this side. That's why I think Paul said we see through a glass darkly. There's things that we see, we understand to a point. It's like that revelation I got of the purity of God. And I couldn't, to me, it's like I couldn't imagine sinning in that presence because it would probably kill you. It would just, you'd probably just fry or whatever. Your body would probably disintegrate. It's like you can't have it. It is so pure. It's so holy. And see, people don't understand that's why God kept the distance. God wanted to get close to man, but God can only do it by bringing salvation. He had to do it. Man could never do nothing good enough to get close to God. God had to initiate it and set it up because man was going to fry in his presence. Man can't stand in his presence. Man is never good enough. The only reason you and I, we have the Holy Spirit living in us is because of God's grace. What the goodness of God did it. It saved us. We're born again to have the nature of God because we have the nature of God. The Spirit of God indwells and lives in us. And see, I think, God wants us to come in contact more with that, with what's in us. See, this number one, I know this, that the majority of the church world never comes in contact, if they're even born again, don't even ever come in contact with their spirit, or we wouldn't have a ton of beliefs that people have today. Homosexuality would never be accepted in the church. It would never be a conceivable idea. I know this, people are not in contact with God. Because your own human spirit would never allow it. Your own human spirit could not go along with it if it's born again. It would never go along. It would never say, yeah, it's all right. Never say it's okay. It wouldn't say all the junk and stuff. People, it's okay, it's all right. It wouldn't be allowed. Nope. Your own spirit. Because understand, see, this is one thing our spirits, we're holy. The real you and I is holy. We're born again. We're holy. And so when you contact on the inside of you, you're holy, and there's the Holy Spirit living in you. What do you think you're going to run into? Holiness. And you know what? Holiness and sin have a hard time hanging around each other. So we know that people are not living in holiness if they're attached to sin. See, it's one thing for a person to sin. It's another thing to practice sin. We today teach you can practice as much as you want. See, they're not in contact with this holiness. It's not the holiness that I experienced. Oh my God. The power of that holiness is incredible. I mean, Jesus is so holy. It's just, it is mind-blowing. I wish I've often wished that I had words that actually could explain what that was like. But I've had different experiences I've had in the areas of the Spirit. And you have, and you know certain things, but there's no words in this side. There's not things that you could say that really explain what it is, because we have nothing to compare it to. In the natural, there's nothing. Because see, we live in a fallen world, and this everything's tainted. And we're trying to use words, like people use the word perfect. What on earth does that mean today? Really? I mean, think about it. When you talk about perfect, how do you think? What's perfect to you? That's what comes down to each of us as individuals. It isn't what it really is heaven calls perfection. You know, unless somebody got caught up to heaven and talks about perfection, it's a whole different level. It's completely different than here. So we talk about it from whatever we can compare it to. And that's what we set up our measure. But when it comes down to it, it ain't true. But you know, that's what we're with. That's what we're stuck with. We're really operating on a plane here on a low level of communication. And that's why man needs to be able to come in contact with his heart. Because inside, there's revelation. There's knowing inside of us that is really beyond the human comprehension. On the outside, nobody has eternal life.
That's right.
But we, the believer, has eternal life operating in them. That's the life of God. I want to think about that. You have God's very life. Gee, that's pretty mind-blowing. You have God's life. It's in you. You know, and that's... I mean, we want that to influence us. We want that to have its influence in us. And there's just like things of every one of you, there's stuff that you know on the inside, but on the outside it's sort of like, you know, but there's somehow a knowing in you. There's a knowing inside of you. You want to walk and you want to live in that. Now what grace, and we're going to close with this, what grace does, we'll pick up from here when I get back from vacation and stuff. We'll pick up from here. But grace imparts divine ability. That's what it does. It departs divine ability. See, when you came to grace by faith, you got born again. See, that divine ability caused you to get saved. You didn't get saved because of your power. The Bible told us what we needed to do to be saved, what we needed to believe. But if the power of God wouldn't have went into operation, it wouldn't have performed anything. It would have been nothing. But it was God, it's divine ability. And it's based on this, on God's benevolence. And it's just simply this, the giving of something not earned. You didn't do something wonderful, you didn't do something great, there's nothing from the standpoint of nothing. You didn't earn this. Salvation was bought completely to us. Without any kind of work, it was by God's benevolence, His love to mankind. Now, and it was done for the purpose of making man a partaker of the divine nature of God. That's what. So you and I, that's why God did what He did. So you could partake of God's nature and enable the plan of God to be fulfilled in man. This is the whole thing about God wants to fulfill His plan through you. That's what He wants to do. You were given God's nature so you can fulfill God's plan. Now understand about this. See, we do a lot today as people have, you know, their visions for their lives and they have all this stuff and this thing. But you know what? You will never enjoy any of it as much as if you'll pick up God's plan for your life. Your plan It's not worth much. No, I'm serious. What God wants to do in each and every will fulfill you. There's nothing. See, we live in a world today. People are working and striving, trying to attain all the time. There's just such pressure on people. Now you get people, we turned around and they said, hey, stay at home. People loved that when COVID came. They loved it. They stayed at home. I don't have to do nothing now. I don't have to go out. I don't have to keep this striving and keep trying. I don't have to. And so now they went and sat down. Well, that didn't work either. Because now they got to try to make it live and try to make this thing work. You know, these people, I was reading an article about what happened down in, they said in Florida, right down by Disney World, there's this huge camp of homeless. Now, a bunch of these people are homeless, you know. Some of them work for Disney, but they're homeless. But they have this problem. See, they did this, the homelessness, they did this to themselves. These were people who were not homeless, but they came homeless by being lazy. What they did is what when the government said, look, we're going to give you all this money and you can stay at home. You don't even have to pay your rent. And you know what? They quit paying their rent. Some of people were working, but they quit paying the rent. They can't put you out. Well, now the day came and they can put you out. And now they put them out and these people can't borrow any money because their credit rating stinks and they cannot get in anywhere. Because in Florida, they demand you have at least, in most states probably pretty close, but you have to earn at least up to a third of what your rent would be in a month's time. So you'd have to have another two times whatever the rent is to get in. And this is what they have to do. So what happens? See, these people, now they're all under this great pressure. They can't even get a place to live. It isn't a matter of having places. They can't get a place. See, what they did is they thought, see, I get to pull back and I don't have to go on this thing and anything. Wouldn't it have been easier to accept Jesus? And be able to live your life and go out here and do it. Take some of the pressure. Because there is pressure. Every one of us has pressure. Every one of us has things that goes on in our lives. Amen. It isn't about, you know, we're not gonna hide away. We're not going to do that. It's being able to live in this life and be able to walk especially. We want to be able to yield to the grace of God because of whatever we face along in life. I don't want to live a life of driven. I feel so sorry. So many people are in that. They're just living driven lives. They just all the time feeling terrible and they're all the time pressure on everything. And I mean, it's a shame because if you've arisen to the place where you're just always looking for the government to bail you out, that will drive you crazy because they're going to soon run out of everybody else's money. So that'll get worse. But what happens is the pressure stay there when you don't know how to live by faith and things come along is, I've been now over 40 years of living this Christian life, and I can't remember, hardly remember what it was like living without faith, because you've been doing it for so long, and I often think about, how do these people do this how do they do that? What do they do when they don't have anything to trust? They don't have I'm going to lay my head down and sleep tonight. God, you're going to work this thing out. You know, you're going to take care of this thing. I'm just going to trust you. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just going to lay here tonight and praise you some and just go to sleep and get up in the morning. And it's just, but you don't have that. You know, what do you do when you go to bed every night and there's just worry and fretting and all that's constantly going on all the time? And, you don't have anything, you know, as I have said before, you know, people say, well, it's just a crutch. Man, thank God for a crutch. I mean, dear Lord. If your leg's broken, you should like to have a crutch. we are living with a broken leg and we need God's help. And God gives us the ability to stand. And that's what we have to rely on. And that's a good thing. That's what grace is about. Grace is about something that brought you into the kingdom, but it's grace is what's going to cause you to stand in this kingdom. And grace will give you the ability to carry out God's will in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will do it, and it'll work. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you tonight Father, because your grace is so wonderful and so good, and your kindness to us in Christ Jesus, thank you so much. Father, continue to open our eyes in these areas and understanding, God, because we want to yield to all that grace has, because grace is so wonderful. And it has so much to offer to us as believers to help us. And Father God, we sure do want to preach this wonderful gospel of grace that we have, because Lord, there's a world around us. And oh Lord God, they need grace. Hallelujah. They need your favor. And Father God, your favors has a name, and it's Jesus Christ. And Father God, we want to tell them about this wonderful Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you so much. Hallelujah. And truly, we believe that the good work that you started in us, you're bringing it to completion. And we thank you, Father, for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.